Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan. Hope you guys are having a good week. Almost Friday, right? About to hit the weekend. And then, of course, Sunday rolls around. That's just we'll be able to go back into the building and just worship God with our brothers and sisters this Sunday. I preached a sermon on my other phone, and I've been trying to post it on my website, and it won't post. So hopefully I'm going to try to keep this one a little bit shorter, and hopefully it'll post. That's why the delay, I guess the devil's hand is in motion. Quite a bit on delays and getting things posted on my website. Yeah, I'm looking at trying to upgrade some things on there, and hopefully, as a website, I guess, evolves, I'll get more stuff on there and customize it better, and it's just kind of, plain. But I want to thank all you guys for visiting it and just listening to my sermons and following me on, following the devotionals and following me on Facebook, and I love you guys. And I'm preaching a series sermon on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but I want to take a break from that this week and look at salvation again. I don't know who's out there listening to this podcast and if they know God or they want to know God and they don't really understand what salvation is, and I'm going to most quoted scripture out there, and to me it's really beautiful scripture, as all of it is John 3:16-18, and a lot of times John 3:16 is memorized. But so what we'll do here is I'll read the scripture and then we'll have a moment of prayer, and then we'll step right into this. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Heavenly Father, we just come tonight, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity just to read your word, to listen to the words that the Gospel of John, that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. It motivated him, it inspired him to live a life different than this world. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as this weekend comes around, Lord, that we can gather back in our churches, Lord, the local church, the building, because that's where our brothers and sisters are at. We can sing together and praise, and the man of God can come up there and preach, and we can have fellowship with one another. That's beautiful, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the getting us almost through another week, Lord, guiding and directing our steps to be that light in that darkness, Lord. Lord, all the doubts that we may have in our mind sometimes that the enemy plants, Lord, we know that your truth is that you're there with us regardless of what the enemy tells us. Now, I'll pray over anybody out there that needs to hear this message, Lord, of salvation. It reaches whoever that needs to hear it, Lord. Let it penetrate their heart and pull them from their despair and their darkness that could be around them, Lord. I pray, Lord, those are out there that are sick, Lord, and They're under the weather, Lord. We don't know their situations, Lord, but we lift them up to you and we thank you for guiding and directing people to witness to them in their time of need. Lord, I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, John 3:16 through 18 is, I mean, that kind of sums up the whole kind of salvation. If you look, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, God love, his love is what we call a agape love. It's a unconditional, it's a pure, it's a raw, genuine love for this world. And he gave his only, that there's only one begotten son, only one. It was his only. I know if you really look at that word only, you think about it. And those out there are parents, and maybe, you know, you may have several children out there, but if you had one son or one daughter, could you give him or her up to a world? To a world that is so corrupt and so dark. And that don't want anything to do with Jesus. You know, when you look at the cross and what Jesus had to go through on that cross, it should break your heart. It should break your heart. No man should have to endure the suffering and the pain he went through. The scourging alone, if I don't know if you guys really know about scourging, just look it up. It's brutal. Jesus was whipped with a whoop that was made of leather straps that had glass and teeth, shards of teeth in them. And when they struck the skin of whoever they were torturing, it would literally rip the skin in chunks. Most would die just from that. But Jesus got scourged, and of course, you know, that wasn't enough. And they mocked him, they spit on him, and they hit him. And then he had to carry a cross up the Calvary, that heavy cross. And you may ask, why did he deserve that? No, he did not deserve that. He did that for you and me, guys, because he loves us so much. It's through the blood that was shed on Calvary that we can have everlasting life. We can come right where we're at, and we don't have to do a sacrifice of a lamb. If you look at the Old Testament, the sacrificial system that was set up, and it had to do with, of course, when you look at Adam and Eve, you know, God created this world, it was beautiful, and he created Adam, then he created Eve, and he told them not to eat of a particular tree in the garden. But the serpent, Satan, deceived Eve. And then Eve deceived Adam, and they ate as forbidden fruit that they were not supposed to eat, and they realized they were naked, and they were ashamed that sin entered this world. That's the fall of man. That's the curse, right? That's the curse. And Jesus, of course, they had to do the whole sacrificial system. If you look at that, they had to wave and sin offering. But the Jesus, when Jesus came on sight, and when he was crucified, and his blood spilled on Calvary, he said, we can come right where we're at. This is a sinful world. You're living in a sinful state. But I'm giving you a way, some strength through all of this, through my blood. that blood that was shed on Calvary. And of course, he was removed from the cross. He was placed in the tomb. And third day, he rose. He was fully restored. That's beautiful. And he was seen by the disciples and over 400 people. And of course, then he ascended to heaven. And they were looking. And the angels looked down like, where are you looking at? He's gone, but he's coming back someday. And all through Jesus' ministry, he spoke of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. See, he said, I have to leave my Comforter. So when we open our hearts to Jesus, truly opening our hearts to Jesus, saying, here I am, right where I'm at. I know the painful price you paid, the blood that was shed on Calvary for my sins. I can ask forgiveness for where I'm at. I can repent. That means turn away from my sins. I can repent when I mess up, when I sin. Repentance is very important in a Christian's life. You see, we fight two states. We have a flesh and we have a spirit. We can walk in the spirit, we can walk in the flesh. Some days it's a challenge, you know, you're walking out there and you're living in this world and it's easy to really get into the flesh. I know for me it is. But to walk in the spirit, we have to have that Holy Spirit. We have to submit to Jesus and say, here I am. Use me as you need. Let your spirit work through me. Help me to die daily. So we have to die daily, guys. We have to die to ourselves daily. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can die daily to ourselves, as the flesh, as the sin. And of course, we will mess up during the days. That's why sin should grieve our hearts. That's the other part of that, salvation. We shouldn't be okay with sin. Sin in our life should grieve us. To a point where we can't even look in the mirror at ourselves. And then we go and we repent of it. And say, Lord, forgive me. And give me strength next time. Right? And if you don't repent, then Paul tells us in Hebrews 12:6-11, for whom the Lord loved, he chastised and scourged every son, and that can also mean daughter, who he received. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealt with you as with sons, for the son is he whom the father chastised not. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then you are bastards, not sons. You see, Jesus, he will correct us. He will chastise us when we get out of line. And if you don't feel that chastisement when you sin, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and it's grieving, there's something wrong with your walk with God. I don't play fast and loose with nobody's salvation. If you're missing that chastisement, meaning that when you mess up and you're like, it grieves your spirit, you're missing that, then I choose to say you are not a child of God. Because here it tells us once again in Hebrews, he said, God dealt with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the father chastised not? But ye be without chastisement. That's verse 8. Whereof all are partakers. He's saying all my children are partakers of this chastisement and scourging. If you're not partaker, then are ye bastards. And bastards mean you are not sons or daughters of Jesus. So chastisement is just part of it. There, you cannot live in your sin and be okay with living in your sin. It just doesn't work that way. Today, you have what I would call dirty grace, meaning I'm going to do this and it'll be all right. God understands I can live my sin and I'm not grieved. There ain't nowhere in the Bible where Jesus teaches that. And when we are children of God, when we truly open our hearts to Him and the Holy Spirit's in us and He's chastising us and getting us on the path and we're growing and we're becoming disciples for Jesus, discipleship goes along with salvation. Discipleship, Jesus spoke quite a bit of it. He speaks that you have to count the cost. He even told His disciples, the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. And you're also a soldier. You're in a war that's been raging for a long time. And your mission, disciple, soldier, is to go out into that world and to tell the world about Jesus. I pray that you guys have a good church and they teach discipleship, because that's what one of the primary roles of a local church is to teach discipleship. See, it's all worth it in the end. One day Jesus will be coming back. And He's coming for His children. And I believe that time is drawing near, guys. Our time is getting limited. And I want, as we're closing this up, salvation is this. Come where you're at right now if you have not. And just lay your heart out. Just say, Jesus, here I am. I'm sinful. I've done things that I don't believe I should be forgiven of. And it don't have to be nothing special. God sees your heart. He knows what's going on in there. The words is just words in the end. He knows what's going on in that heart. So just say whatever you need to say. Be as raw and real as you can, because He's listening. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will come into your life. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, that's all the guidance and direction you need. In a sense, the Holy Spirit will guide and He will direct you to that church that you need to be at. To that pastor or that evangelist or that Bible teacher that you need to be around. To help you and disciple you in going out there and reaching the lost. I have a heart for the lost. My heart yearns to meet people and talk about Jesus that may not know Jesus. And when we become children of God, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we are new. We're no longer the same. We're talking about that flesh and that spirit. And we will be waging that war, but we can walk more in the spirit, more that we let Jesus take control over our lives. When we become children of God, we're no longer the same. We're no longer old. We are new. John 3, if you at the very beginning of that, Jesus and Nicodemus, and He speaks about being born again. That born again meaning a new birth, meaning you're no longer your old self. Yes, you'll struggle because we're fighting this flesh. And don't let the devil ever discourage you. But when Jesus comes into your life, old is past, new is come. direction and guidance, the Holy Spirit will guide and direct you in the paths that you need to go. And in the end, all the things that we may experience in this life don't even compare to the glory that's coming. Revelation 21:4 says this is probably one of my favorite scriptures about heaven. It really brings me a lot of comfort, especially when I'm just laying there and I just don't know what to say. It says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are past." That's a beautiful promise, guys. Love you guys. If y'all have any questions on salvation, just let me know. The other sermon I had, it was a lot longer, a lot more detailed. Hopefully this video will post on there, and I'll try to figure over the weekend what's going on with my website on posting stuff. As you guys bow with me, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to come here tonight and talk about salvation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that whoever's out there needs to hear this message, we're taking a break between the sermon on the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is manifest within a child of God. If there's somebody out there that has not truly accepted Christ into their lives and they're wondering how to do that, Lord, I pray this sermon reaches them. And I pray if they have questions, they just hit me up on Facebook. Got my phone number on there. Got a website on there. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our lives reflect, and those that are children of God, our life reflects a change. A light that shines so bright, the darkness flees. I pray, Lord, over the weekend that we're ever together again within our local churches, Lord. And to have that fellowship with our brothers and sisters, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for speaking through me. Let this message reach whoever it may reach. And I love you, Jesus. We pray in your holy, beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good weekend.